Lord, we pray that the words of my mouth, the thoughts of our hearts, indeed the actions of our lives, may be acceptable in your sight, our King and Saviour. Amen. Well, you heard Jeremiah tell it. God was angry. Angry with the leaders. I repeat and paraphrase a little. Can you believe it? Shepherd leaders who butcher and scatter my sheep. The Hebrew words, fear, confusion, and abandonment mark their behavior. Even their prophets are liars. I will not have it, says God. Let me tell you, I have my eye on them and I will gather my people. I myself will take good care of them. I will send a shepherd to bring them back. They will no longer be afraid. His name will be the Righteous Saviour. What would God say of leadership today, of our leaders? Lying? More lying? Confusion? When will we stop hearing those words, "It is absolutely clear," when they have become to mean absolute nonsense? Abandonment, that terrible feeling that those in power simply do not understand the people they represent. And as for sexual promiscuity, which covers our front pages, what would God say? Who speaks for God about leadership today? This time last month, Judy and I had the privilege to be in India. And in New Delhi, we went past the large memorial park dedicated to Mahatma Gandhi, that great man who worked and died as a martyr for peace and progress. Well, Gandhi was invited to visit London, and he was asked there by the press, "Mr. Gandhi, what do you think of Western civilization?" Gandhi paused and then answered, "I think it would be a very good idea." What would he say today? This is about shepherd kings. And, of course, shepherd is a very powerful word in our scriptures, in our faith. There are a number of wonderful parts in the Old Testament that refer to God as shepherd, and not least, of course, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. We have hymns and songs and prayers based on this whole idea of God being a shepherd, leading, feeding, and protecting his people. And his beauty and his love follow his people throughout their lives. But in this passage in Jeremiah and in a parallel one in Ezekiel, God deals with false shepherds. And no doubt Jesus had that in mind when he used that well-known parable, "I am the good shepherd." Not just good in some simple moral sense, but in the sense of being genuine and faithful, as different from those shepherds that God condemned. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I call them by name and they know me. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And here an image of the martyr shepherd king comes to mind. Now, unfortunately, perhaps shepherding suffers from a rather soft and romantic image. It looks gentle and pastoral very often. I read a story of a lady clergyman recently who spent a month on a farm and worked with the sheep. And she discovered, she says, "Sheep are strong and willful animals. They run faster, they think quicker, and they try to to avoid every attempt when shepherds and their dogs try to control them, shear them, trim their hooves, or inject them. Most shepherds know what it is to be thrown to the ground, well kicked and outwitted by sheep. So much for the romantic picture. And those of you who have any farming background, and we do have within our wider congregation those who keep sheep, will know the truth of these words. A book that several of us have read recently called The Shepherd's Life by James Rebank. It's not a Christian book. It talks of the life of a shepherd in the Lake District and all its trials and tribulations and the challenge which it was to his family and to his life. And I quoted something for it in three gifts I gave to Ordinands in June, including our own late rector's son and my own granddaughter, because he put these things, and I wrote them down in a Christian book I gave to each of them. There are three rules for shepherding, says Rebank. The first rule of shepherding is, it's not about you, it's about the sheep. The second rule is, sometimes you can't win. The third rule is, shut up and get on with the work. They're just little illustrations of shepherding, I think, that I hope make us realize what a demanding work this is. Now, in our gospel reading, we had something that seemed to be quite different, where the high calling of the shepherd king took him to crucifixion. On that cross was placed the king of the Jews. The Jews actually objected to it, but Pilate refused to have it removed. This is the king of the Jews. Now, some standing there just rebuked him and said, okay, if you're the king of the Jews, why don't you come down? Others said, including one of the thieves crucified with him, if you're the king of the Jews, come down from the cross, save yourself and us. If you're the king. Do you remember the devil in the temptation said that several times? If you're the king, do this, do that, worship me. But the other person crucified with him, the other thief, said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Some just stood there, stared. Some didn't want to get involved. But this man said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This one recognized the king. We must all ask ourselves, why did God allow such a thing, such a revolting scene as the crucifixion? Why should this become a throne where these words from the king were heard? And don't we need to remember it? As we're reminded at each communion service, do this in remembrance of me. We need to be reminded. We too need to be honest with God about our fears, our confusion, our doubts, the abandonment we sometimes feel. Even though we too may sometimes feel we deserve it. But this word from the throne is the good news of Christ the King, given to a dying thief. Truly, I tell you, today, you will be with me forever. The promise of Christ the King. Now, be it ever so dramatic there, or as we first sang, be still and know that I am God. To you, to me, to prince or prime minister, the promise is the same. We too can know that Christ's forgiveness, his earlier words, Father, forgive them, are for us, for you to be with me in paradise forever. This is no simple sentiment of love. I love you all, says God. Oh, how far from that is this. This is the essential part of Jesus' gospel, the basic truth. To you, to me, to the whole creation, the foundation truly of all Christian experience. Now, today, as we come to remember it at the communion rail, as we sing in the last hymn those words about the Lord's my shepherd, I will trust in him. We're invited to make this our own again and again, to do this in remembrance of him. The King has spoken from that extraordinary throne. Today we celebrate Christ the King. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your amazing love. Lord God, we thank you for the unimaginable act that we're coming to look forward to and remember at Christmas. That you came, that you gave up everything of godliness to be one of us, to be with us forever. So we pray, Lord, you'll open our minds and hearts afresh today as we worship you as Christ the King. Amen.